Hey, what's up, everybody?
And welcome to hell. This is Mile Higher Podcast, but this is a special edition. Today we are talking about a topic that I have wanted to cover for years. I can't believe we still haven't done it. That all ends today because we are finally talking about hell houses. Now, I'm sure a lot of you have heard about hell houses, but if you haven't, you're going to be absolutely mind blown that these things still exist. Not in the numbers they used to, but it's still very prevalent around the country. And it is so disturbing. Like, just buckle in if you have not heard of a hell house or have seen any footage from one or heard people talking about their experience. It is absolutely wild. So we're going to be taking you on, a journey to hell. I'm your host, Kendall.
I'm Josh.
And of course, we are joined by our lovely production duo team, Janelle and Ian.
Hello.
Oh, that was a good hell voice, Ian.
Right off the bat, though, before obviously like researching this episode, were you guys familiar with hell houses at all?
0%.
I had heard, I mentioned to you before on this podcast, Joy Tactics, one of the guys said that he used to go when he was a little kid and he was like, it traumatized the fuck out of me.
I can imagine, as it has for thousands of people. And even researching this episode, you said you felt like kind of re-traumatized. It brought up a lot for you, Josh.
Oh, yeah.
Have you been to one, Josh?
I've never been to one, thank God. But I definitely went to churches throughout the years. I think there was a few that might have had one going on, but I was too young. So I was there for some Halloween alternative, like festival or carnival that the church would host. And then they had it for older kids. Because I think a lot of churches would be like, it'd probably be like 13 and older, at least like a teenager before you experience some of this. So
send a 4-year-old in there.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think that's happening. I mean, unless a parent is bringing their 4-year-old through it. But I definitely have been familiar with this topic because obviously it comes from, you know, the religion that I grew up with, evangelical Protestantism. I went to a number of different churches kind of in this denomination. And I was very curious because I was like, I primarily went, a lot of people wonder, like, what church did you go to? The main church that I went to was the Church of the Nazarene. I went to that church in Oklahoma when I lived there, as well as Colorado. But I went to a bunch of other churches that are similar to some of the churches that we'll be talking about today, including sort of the infamous Trinity Church down in Cedar Hills, Texas. I think if you've not heard of this before, Halloween rolls around and obviously what's the main attraction? Haunted houses. And haunted houses from a Christian's point of view are secular nightmares for Christians. So Christians are basically told to not go to haunted houses. So I never went to haunted houses till I got probably around 15, 16 when, you know, I went to public school. So all my friends were either religious or they weren't. And a lot of them weren't religious. And so they obviously would go to haunted houses. And I got introduced to that, which scared the shit out of me, by the way, because if you grow up learning about hell, you learn about the deadly sins and all these different things and what hell is like. And this, I think what's important to understand too, is the concept that you're sort of indoctrinated with from a young child is this idea that sin and temptation is all around you, but obviously you have free will as a human being. So you have choices to make, but that doesn't stop demons. So Satan's legion, his army that's all around you at all times into tempting you into doing these different things. So the concept that I had growing up as a child was that these demons existed all around us. And whenever a situation came up that might lead to sin, the idea is that the devil's at work. Basically. And he's always there. He's always trying to tempt you, always trying to get you to sin because that brings you closer to him, brings you closer to hell. Jesus is the answer because he absolves you of that sin and therefore helps you make your way to heaven.
God, that would be such a mind fuck. I can't imagine.
I can't tell you how many nights I'd lay in my bed as a child going over all my actions throughout the day and then asking God for forgiveness for each of the things that I deemed were sins.
Just nightly guilt trip. Wow.
And a lot of it was just very normal developmental things that you go through as a child, especially going into your teenage years, because I didn't fully leave the church and religion as a whole till I was about 17, 18 years old. And so, especially in those early teenage years when you're going through puberty, a lot of changes are happening. A lot of things are getting thrown at you, especially when you go into high school, all the things you get bombarded with, all of the peer pressure situations that come up, which these hell houses capitalize on. with partying, drugs, mm-hmm. drinking, sex before marriage, things like that. So all of that is prevalent. And so the hell houses are really the church's response to not only haunted houses, because the goal is to, it's supposed to be an outreach event. It's supposed mm-hmm. to be, let's get as many people of the world through our hell house so that we can then evangelize to them at the end of it, so that they can kind of, hopefully it gives them an awakening around their life and rethinks all of their, you know, the things that they may be doing, and then sort of put them on the path of righteousness with Jesus. And so it's kind of a smart tactic, you know what I mean? Like when you think mm-hmm. about it from their perspective,
business strategy. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes sense why they do it. However, the way they go about doing it, I would say is misleading and straight up offensive.
Very. Yeah.
And traumatizing. And I don't think the people who created this idea really thought that through.
Or they did.
Or they
like,
did.
It'll work better because of those reasons.
Right, right. By capitalizing on people's fears. Mm-hmm. But
put the fear of God in them.
But so many things, while researching this, it definitely kind of triggered me in a lot of different ways, because a lot of the things that are said, especially at the end of the hell houses, so you go through these different scenes, which we'll talk about, you know, examples of that. Then they lead you to a room where they attempt to convert you or evangelize to you about becoming a Christian or reaffirming your faith in Christ. And after you just witnessed all this stuff, because you're all in your feels, you're hopefully being triggered emotionally and having these thoughts about your life and maybe creating that, they're hoping to create that doubt in somebody that maybe doesn't know God and is like, oh, maybe I am on the wrong path. Maybe these guys do have the answer. So therefore I'll follow, you know, I'll pick up what they're putting down here. So it's a very, very interesting thing. You know, I definitely am glad I never went through one personally, but I definitely feel just watching this stuff happen. Mm-hmm.
The things they're discussing. And
yeah, it hits and definitely is impactful to me. I don't know. And mm-hmm. I'm sure anybody else out there who, whether you're still a Christian, and I want to preface this episode because I know we have a lot of Christian viewers and listeners.
Yeah, I was going to say this too.
And I want to make sure that you know that we know there's plenty of you out there who are completely normal, reasonable people who understand what I believe is the true meaning of a relationship with God. And that is it's a personal relationship and it's not meant to be forced on other people. And everybody has a right to choose their own path. And so you understand how to respect and love all people the way that Jesus did. And so I just want to make sure it's very clear. We're going to dunk on these people quite a bit, let's be honest, because it's pretty, pretty insane.
Yeah, it's horrific. There's no defending this. And if there's anyone out there listening to this that feels the need to defend this, it's probably just not the episode for you, to be honest. But, you know, we're aware that there's so many churches, way more, that operate, you know, in a very respectful way and would never partake in something like this. So just be aware that we're aware that this is the minority, but it's dangerous. It's really scary. And I think a lot of this, if you haven't heard of these hell houses or, you know, read or seen anything about it, it's going to be shocking to you that this actually exists and people really put these productions on and invest so much time, energy, and money into them. It's just absolutely wild and horrific. It really is. It's so offensive. Just be aware before going into that. It is shocking on every level.
To be clear, they're all done sort of differently. Different churches have different ways that they go about doing it. They call them different names. I mean, they're known as judgment houses, hallelujah houses. But the main sort of component to it is it's this immersive theatrical experience where it's volunteers from the church. You know, this isn't like Hollywood actors that are,
no.
You know, although some of them should, I'm like, yeah. Not bad.
Yeah, not bad. But it's like, it's a big deal for them. You can tell. There's one specific documentary on Hell Houses. It's older, from 2001.
Literally called Hell House 2001.
Oh, yeah.
It's on YouTube.
Yeah. I recommend checking it out, though, because it's quite entertaining. Obviously, there's a lot of parts that are really disturbing, but some of it is just, what the fuck is happening? But the way that they get so excited to try out and how many people try out and watch, you get to see their auditions for it. It is just, it is a wild watch. So I recommend checking it out if you're interested.
But Hell Houses are very much a ripoff of haunted houses. No surprise when you actually see what they're doing. You're like, they are literally taking concepts of a haunted house, yeah, reformatting it for their purposes, and they're using it to try and scare people away from sin and give them the opportunity to evangelize them about Jesus, so in the hopes of converting people and bringing new members to the church.
And it works.
Yeah. And this is something that all churches talk about. And this is something in youth group growing up. It's like, how do we get more teenagers into church? And so, especially as time has evolved, I feel like churches have really struggled to keep numbers up. And so they try to come up with different ways to draw people in. You went to youth group with friends and mm-hmm. for, you know, there would be different fun events. And
if there was a hot boy that asked me to go to youth group, I was going to go.
Right.
And they were kind of fun. I mean, I always went for just the fun things, the activities, games, like sleepover nights.
But what happens at all of those different events?
Eventually they turn the lights off and we start singing and people around you are crying. And I was like, wow.
Right.
They are moved by this. What am I missing here? What am I not feeling? But yeah, I have some good memories of going to some of those things.
We're going to kind of give you a background of Hell Houses because these have been around for a long time. Hell Houses began in the U.S. in the 1970s, but they became wildly popular in the 1990s. And they became so popular that they started parodying them on shows, actually, like The Simpsons and King of the Hill. Also, Law & Order SVU did an episode which featured a problematic pastor in his Hell House. If you want to check it out, Season 8, Episode 17, episode's titled Sin. But some Hell Houses are unique creations specifically tied to their church. Others are productions from an established program or quote-unquote kits that can be performed by any church or organization. A church close to us here in Colorado, Assemblies of God in Arvada, Colorado, actually, made national headlines in 1995. Its gruesome Hell House production, a 7-stage haunted house staffed by 250 volunteers, began selling kits to other churches around the country. And the production was immediately criticized for its gory depictions of abortion, a gay man dying of HIV/AIDS, and a graphic drunk driving accident, as well as teen and obviously a visual representation of hell. And in only a few years, they shipped 475 Hell House outreach kits around the country, priced at $200 each.
What's the math on that? How much did they make?
Not a whole lot.
475.
80,000 or something?
Let me do it real quick.
100,000?
95,000.
Oh, you're faster than me. Yep, 95,000. Wow. Damn.
That's like not that much.
Well, yeah, I guess so. I don't know. It is kind of a deal. $199.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, then multiply that and make a ton off of it. So these Hell Houses, they are often set up in like a big tent or some type of building that's near the church, in a school or like a rental unit, something like that. Sometimes they're set up for a short amount of time. They pop up around Halloween, of course.
Think Spirit Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just kind of like a Spirit Halloween. Yeah.
If there's like vacant space in a strip mall, they might rent that out. Although I think a lot of churches don't have the budget to do that usually, so they're just mm-hmm. doing it in their church or, you know, some structure on the property.
Oh, some of them do it in the church?
Well, they do it like annex building, you know, so not the main sanctuary, you know what I mean? Most churches have like other parts of the church that aren't the sanctuary.
Can't believe that some of them even do it in schools. Nice. So although their goal with these Hell Houses is to provide moral instructions for life in general, most people, you know, see these attractions as a place of unnecessary shame, horror, trauma, and judgment. They use these stressful and terrifying dramatizations to push evangelical indoctrination. They depict these horrific acts, which the church has, of course, deemed to be sinful. And this can include things like same-sex marriage or really anything involving LGBTQ community behavior, gambling, mass shootings, abortion, terrorism, extramarital sex, raving at nightclubs, using alcohol and drugs, and even committing. So right there, you can just see how offensive these are. And here's a trailer for a Hell House in 2009 that was labeled as, quote, extreme. And before we play this, you've been warned. They're disturbing.
Yeah.
A Hell House. Some say one church-sponsored haunted house has gone too far. Some of the video you're about to see is very disturbing.
Doesn't hurt me. You wanna feel
domestic violence, police coming to crime scenes.
I know your secrets.
Good God. And we probably end up, I mean, we'll probably have to end up cutting some of that out, actually, because it, you know, YouTube's not going to love it. And that tells you a lot. So the church is producing a trailer that isn't even safe for YouTube. So
I'm just like, what the fuck does that have to do with Jesus?
Literally nothing. It's insane.
It looks like a trailer for a horror movie.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like they're enjoying it, too. Like, the people who are putting that together are like, let's make this fucking scary. Right. And they just totally lose the plot of what they're even trying to do.
Well, I think what really just I can't wrap my head around is the purpose of a haunted house is to entertain, to scare you. But people going into a haunted house know that what they're experiencing is just a haunt. It's not real. Mm-hmm. They're not, you know, there might be some exaggerated scenes that could potentially be real life, but most haunted houses are doing paranormal stuff. You know, there it's clearly stuff from movies, whatever yeah. it may be. It's very clear this is a horror inspired haunted house that doesn't really have a basis. You're not going to walk into like a car crash scene mm-hmm. in most haunted houses. But with these hell houses, they're taking real life situations that actually happen and they're, you know, dramatizing them
yeah.
and making them the worst possible scenarios possible that could happen in real life, subjecting young people to viewing this yeah. when they may or may not otherwise have ever even seen something like this in real life and maybe even in, you know, Hollywood or something like that firsthand.
Or even worse, they have experienced something yeah, like, and right. they have no idea what they're getting into when they walk into one of these. And they may have had someone in their life that has committed or has died in a car accident or any one of these things. And then suddenly it's being acted out for them in a horrific way. And then at the end, they're trying to convince you that you can be spared from all of this if you just, you know, follow the ways of the church.
Well, the main question that's always asked is, where would you go if you died tonight? And it's always like, where are you going to go? Are you going to go to heaven or hell? And so basically they bring you through all these scenes. And then the entire time there's, you know, this didn't really like show you what's actually being said during these scenes, but these death monitors or the people that are playing, you know, the devil, the demons, the Grim Reaper, whatever it is, are basically being like, you're going to go to hell. You know, this person didn't believe in Jesus, so they're going to hell. This person did in this tragic scenario and is going to heaven. And that's the reoccurring thing throughout it, which you don't find that at all ever in a haunted house. They're not bringing in,
no,
you know, anything along spirituality at all, let alone, you know, religion. So
mm-hmm.
it's very intentional.
Yes. Yes, it is. And the depiction of these horrors quickly made Hell Houses very controversial, as you can imagine. But at the same time, like with anything controversial, it also made it more popular among evangelical churches. And many of them allowed children as young as 10 years old to come in. Some of them reportedly allowed children even younger than that. Can you imagine okaying your child to go to something like this, or even worse, bringing them there demented? But these hell houses really weaponized the fear of eternal damnation in hell to try and scare young attendees into good behavior in attending church. It's similar to how you would make children, or I guess really teenagers, watch like brutal car crashes or kind of like the Alive at 25 programs, things like that, which I'm not comparing them in that way. A lot of those programs and tools are pretty helpful.
And they're, you know, not case reenacting by case. Car crashes usually right in front of you with brutal injuries and mm-hmm. stuff. Like, you're sometimes watching real stuff played out on a TV screen, but you're not seeing it reenacted in such a realistic way right in front of you.
Or like demonstrations of a car accident in a driver's ed program. Did you ever watch something like that at driver's ed?
Yeah, I went to Alive at 25, which was a separate program I did at the library. And I remember in that they showed us some gruesome car accidents and stuff like that.
I remember that too.
Like, this is what happened if you don't wear a seatbelt. Somebody gets ejected through the windshield and mm-hmm. this is what
which
they
is
looked like.
Totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think those things are actually very helpful.
The best way that I could compare hell houses is like the Scared Straight program for juveniles, you know, mm-hmm. juvenile youth. And in a lot of places, they have these Scared Straight programs where kids who are already, you know, going through the juvenile criminal justice system are then put, you know, taken through a day or two or overnight in an adult prison where they're then subjected to, it's a controversial thing too, which maybe we'll do an episode on Scared Straight programs, because there's whole TV shows about this, which I've watched. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of the similar type of thing where you bring the youth in, you show them how horrible it could be if you continue down this path. And the hope is that it scares them straight to where they don't want it. They're like afterwards, like, I'm changed. I'm going to get my act together because I don't want to go to prison because it looks horrible and it's going to be hell. Mm-hmm. And so it's the same type of concept that they've applied here with this, except it's around your soul and eternity.
Yeah. And it's extreme.
Yes.
But many productions even use pop culture references to get violent scenes to reach their younger audiences. And so they've evolved sort of what they're doing over the years. But in the 90s, the rave scene obviously was huge, for those of you who are old enough to remember. And many of the Hell Houses really demonized raves. And they would depict young women who just wanted to go have a good time going to raves, and they would end up getting drugged and raped.
Which is a possibility, but it's not in every case. You know what I mean? So the whole point was to demonize raves because they didn't want you going there at all, period.
Mm-hmm.
Because this could happen. Something bad could happen. But it's also, raves don't glorify God, period. So if we can scare them with the most extreme example of what could happen to you, then it's going to probably keep most Christian ladies from ever going to a rave. Because that's the whole thing, is like trying to prevent you from even putting yourself in a position where you might be tempted.
Mm-hmm.
By the devil.
Instead of just teaching young people how to attend things like that safely and protect themselves.
It's also weird to me that they're villainizing the woman of, like, you're going to go to the rave and someone's going to rape you. Why are you not villainizing the rapist?
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, if you rape someone at a rave, you're going to be going to hell.
Yeah. Or bringing up that it could happen to young men as well.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's always in the scenes that I've seen from Hell Houses, it's always women.
There's a lot of themes of sexism, homophobic, just bigot behavior in these Hell Houses.
But obviously, as time went on, the rave scene kind of changed. And so in more recent productions of Hell Houses, it's now young women uploading provocative images to Tinder. Or mm-hmm. I'm sure, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a Hell House with an OnlyFans situation in it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where some OnlyFans girl gets a message from somebody and then that OnlyFans girl gets murdered or something like
mm-hmm,
that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to stay relevant with pop culture because they know if they get a girl through there who's used Tinder before, if they can scare the shit out of her with this scenario, then maybe that she'll turn from her wicked ways.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of getting on Tinder, we'll just go to church to find her husband, you know?
Yep. That's the recipe they want you to follow.
But these depictions of sin are always put into simple categories of right and wrong. And in some instances, like the Tinder date, which in that particular Hell House, it was like, you know, she put these provocative images. She ended up meeting up with a rapist and then was raped by her Tinder date.
Yeah.
But in some instances, they even blame victims. And there's a lot of victim blaming. That's just kind of a reoccurring theme.
Pretty much, yeah, the entire thing is.
Because it is blaming you. Well, you did this. You went into this position. So, of course, this is what happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
That theme is rampant through a lot of Hell Houses.
It's the classic, like, well, what were you wearing?
Yeah.
No.
Now you get to suffer in hell for eternity.
Mm-hmm. Right. You brought this upon yourself because you uploaded provocative photos to Tinder. So you attracted that person to you, which is insane.
And the devil made you do it.
Right. And you were tempted by demons to do that in the first place.
Yeah. What a mind fuck.
Yeah. What's even crazier, though, is in some Hell Houses, some of the victims even end up in hell with their attackers.
There are no words for that. That is so demented.
Because they didn't accept Jesus into their heart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
could have all been avoided with that.
In some of these productions, there's one main character or only a few, and they're all subjected to all of the violent horrors within the Hell House. There's also usually a narrator or death monitor, which is typically portrayed as a grim reaper, a demon, or the devil. And we'll be showing you a lot of clips. Look out for that person because it's very, very obvious because they wear these terrible, cheap Spirit Halloween.
Yeah, they look like shit, honestly.
Grim Reaper masks.
Mostly.
Or demon masks or the ones that play the devil in some of these. I'm just like, this is comical almost. But they can be heard encouraging characters to harm someone, including themselves. Or if something tragic happens to one of the characters, the narrator then shames the victim, saying something along the lines of, "See what happens when you sin?"
But much more evil sounding than that.
There was one article we came across by Vice writer Josiah Hess, who had personal experiences with these hell houses and the evangelical church growing up, and his experience is similar to many. In 2017, he wrote, quote, "For the first two decades of my life, I was immersed in this fundamentalist Christian worldview and participated in several hell houses in rural North Iowa where I grew up. During that time, the fear of demons infiltrating my thoughts, attempting to lure me toward eternity, and agony in hell governed my behavior." Relatable. "So when the time came to impose that worldview on others in my Hell House performances, I was remarkably good at it."
Makes a lot of sense.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. I can't imagine dealing with those thoughts. I mean, it's just so horrible.
Well, you literally go to church and you hear sermons of like, you are under attack. You are like the armor of God. I'm sure, maybe you've heard of that. Like, you've got to wear the armor of God because you are under attack. We are in this spiritual war every day. And if you're not prepared, which to be, you know, spiritual ready to battle, it's reading your Bible, it's praying, it's showing up to church, it's doing all the things to be a good Christian to protect yourself from these demonic forces that are at work all around you. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard that over and over and over again. So when you're being told this week in, week out,
especially as a child,
the world's a scary place.
Yeah.
It's a scary place. Everything seems demonic to you.
Yeah. Even scarier than it actually is.
Down to Goosebumps. You're scared of the Goosebumps book.
Oh, yeah. They really went over that a lot in that documentary, the 2001 one.
Because it's like,
Goosebumps.
Don't read Goosebumps, because in the next book will be Anton LaVey's Satanic Bible. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. That's the way they pitch it to you, mm-hmm. though, is like, Harry Potter was a big one. And we'll even mention that a little bit later. Harry Potter, because it deals with witchcraft and sorcery.
I remember when there was a big discussion around those books in schools.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's still discussed
today. My parents didn't let me read them for a long time.
I have a question, Josh. So would some people argue then that those types of, you know, like let's say Harry Potter was created by the devil as a form of like temptation?
I would bet you there's some Christians out there that think J.K. Rowling is straight up demon.
That it's temptation of some sort?
Yes, that she is a wicked person who has created these.
Or the devil has like worked
through created this
her,
literature.
Worked through her, yeah.
With the help of satanic forces to deceive the youth.
I guess, and I don't want to get too off topic here, but I guess my question to that would be, if many people believe that God created everything and is the creator for all, did he also create the devil as well?
No, the devil was a fallen angel.
Yeah, but like...
Yeah, he allowed it to happen, absolutely.
But I guess that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, he allows it to happen.
Okay.
He could end all of it at any point in time.
I guess that's my question of like, okay. Yeah.
But he wants to see who's faithful and who's not.
It's all a big test.
Right, right.
We're failing the test.
Big time, big time.
At least we'll be together.
Yeah, man.
Anyway, so they make it very clear that demons are all around us, constantly trying to seduce us, tempt us into sin, which leads to death and then possibly eternal damnation. But none of them portray the real complex and nuanced world that we actually live in.
Which is so prevalent, dude.
Yeah.
I knew so many even more sheltered than I was, homeschooled Christians when I would talk to them, because I at least went to public school, so I had some concept of the real world, right? And these homeschool kids, I felt so bad for them because they were just so, lack of a better term, brainwashed. And indoctrinated them.
And that's not saying every person who homeschools.
No, I'm talking about my own personal friends that I knew, because I'd go spend time with them and they were just so clueless and terrified of the world. I mean, they didn't leave their house terrified. They wouldn't go to public places because it was wicked. Everywhere was wicked. Movies, everything was screened. Everything was like, I don't know. It felt like a prison, honestly, at times. Mm-hmm. And luckily, most of those people eventually kind of broke out of it as they got older and left home. But it does a number on you.
Yeah, I
psychologically.
Yeah, my heart really goes out to anyone in our audience who has experienced this at one point in their life. And, you know, I'm sure it had a long lasting effect, probably still does to this day.
Because they do make it seem so simple. It's so black or white. It's like you either do this or that. And there's no gray area at all, ever.
It's just not how life works.
The Bible lays it all out. The Bible tells you everything you need to know about how to live your life here on this earth. So there is no room for negotiation. There's no room for gray area because it's already been spelled out for you, which obviously churches have evolved now and they very much understand that that's not the way the real world works and reality works. And so they very much have evolved their pre, you know, the teachings and things like that.
Some of them, yeah. A lot of them.
But a lot, but there is a lot of churches that are fundamentalist churches, especially, who are like, nope, the word of God is the word of God, cannot be changed, cannot be interpreted other than its literal interpretation. And so if you grow up in that sort of environment, then it is very black or white. And a lot of these churches that do the hell houses, that's how they view it, is like, this is all sin. This will all lead you to hell and eternal damnation. And so
there's no other way.
In order to save yourself, you must do this.
Yep. And as you can imagine, many, honestly, if not all of these hell houses have some type of political
spin on it, for sure. Yeah, mm-hmm. They bring, well, they at least bring in political social issues.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm, at definitely. The very minimum.
Evangelical politics. And throughout the years, there's always one highly politicized hell house scene that is usually in almost every version of a hell house, the abortion scene. This is really seems to just be part of the blueprint for the hell houses. I'm sure they pretty much all have them, and they're horrible. I knew that hell houses were bad. I didn't realize how bad until I saw some of these scenes actually playing out. They involve very graphic, often botched abortions where spectators can see a young woman or a teenage girl bleeding out from her crotch. And it's, I mean, imagine as a young girl looking at that. And they show these exaggerated operations being performed on a young woman who may or may not die. You don't know as the viewer if they're going to. And the demonic narrator is always there to shame the young woman for her sin. So as she's laying there bleeding out, and they're like pulling organs and it looks like intestines coming out, there's like a devil character standing behind her whispering into her ear. It's so demented. But sometimes the young woman is coerced into the abortion by her mother in these scenes. Other times it's just her own choice. But no matter what the context is, it's always the wrong choice, of course. And in the hell house near us in Arvada, Colorado, the young woman was tormented by the ghost of her own aborted fetus as it grew into what would have been her daughter.
Oh my God.
Next level. There's really no words to describe how fucked up these houses truly are, especially these types of scenes. So, you know, she sees stages of her hypothetical daughter's life, and the ghost of her daughter then accuses her, the mother, of murder. It's just insane.
One Christian mother, Luis Hernandez, who took her three children to the Arvada Hell House in 2001, said, quote, "My children have no misconception now about abortion and what it means. They will grow up surrounded with a lot of lies about so-called reproductive choice, which tries to confuse the issue. These acts and images will stick with them no matter what anyone says."
Yeah, we're going to traumatize them so they can never get it out of their brain.
Not provide them with any factual information around mm-hmm. how abortions even take place. I know Planned Parenthood has come out many, many times against these hell houses because they're like, these depictions are not what actually goes on here.
Wildly inaccurate.
Yeah. But by the end of each hell house, there's always a strong emphasis on how your sins affect your chance in the afterlife. Typically, there's a room depicting heaven and another depicting hell. The whole point of it is that if the audience doesn't accept Jesus into their life as their Lord and Savior, accept Christian values, you know, change their lifestyle, and, you know, really accept this evangelical indoctrination immediately, then if they die, they're going to end up in hell forever. And they try to drill that home as hard as they possibly can. Because hell is often depicted as sort of a prison where the prisoners are subjected to relentless torture and punishment. And in the end, sometimes the audience meets an actor portraying Jesus and can speak with him. And others, they meet with a youth pastor to talk about their spiritual experience. And again, one of the goals is always to get the audience to convert. Or if you're on the fence, or maybe you went to church before, they want you to reaffirm your faith because ultimately they want you to also come back, come to their church on Sunday. But here's a clip from Crew Youth Church's 2021 Hell House, depicting the difference between the entrance to heaven and the pits of hell. I'd be disappointed if that was what heaven looked like.
For real. Looks like some bullshit Joanne Fabrics.
I got the fog machine going. It's a nice backdrop.
Excuse me. This is the entrance to heaven.
Heaven? I heard about this place in church one time. Can I come in?
Let me check. This book contains the names of all those who accepted Jesus while they were on earth. What's your name?
Lucy Lawson.
I like the heaven in the background.
Yeah.
Where did you book your reservation?
Oh, please check again. I went to church sometimes. I never killed anyone. I was a good person.
Doesn't matter.
I'm sorry. No, please. Please, okay. I was a good person. I never killed anyone. What? No! No! Shut up! No! 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 God.
I think those were Call of
Duty. This is the Lamb's Book of Life. It contains the names of all those who have accepted Jesus while on earth. It says in the Book of Revelation, all who are victorious will be clothed in white, and I will never erase their names from my book, and I will announce before the Father and the angels that they are mine. It says in the Book of John in Acts that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Lucy lived a good life by her own standards, but she didn't meet the criteria to enter heaven.
Bah.
She couldn't do it on her own.
So close.
Let's keep moving.
All right, so what's the alternative?
One thing.
Can't get in.
She went to church sometimes. She said it herself.
Yeah, she said, mm-hmm. Not enough. Didn't accept.
This is very haunted housey.
Mm-hmm.
I will say the production level is better in this room.
Look at that.
Yeah, they put all the money into the house room.
Definitely.
Trap souls.
God, how terrifying is a kid to see this? Can you imagine how fucked up you would be as a kid going through this?
Oh, I'd be, yeah, I'd be...
ruined.
Completely ruined. I love the devil, though, with his big-ass sword.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where is he? Let me take a look.
There he is.
I like the sword.
Silence!
There isn't a second chance.
No.
It's too late.
The narrator pops in.
Lucy didn't live her life for God. She didn't accept Jesus when she had the chance. And now she'll spend an eternity without him in hell. It says in the book of Matthew, then I will say to those on my left, depart from me, those who are cursed, to the lake of fire, prepared for the devil and his fallen angels. But Jesus says in the book of John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We have one more stop.
You know, want to deal with your rapture trauma. The Leftovers.
Oh, I knew you were going to bring up The
Very
Leftovers.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you think a lot.
Well, it really depicts how like how different people in society would react
would
to something.
Would react to it.
2% of the population just disappears, and it's an excellent show. Probably my top five.
And if this type of event happened, what if it isn't the rapture?
Right.
You know, what if it's not the biblical rapture and something else? Very good. But here's another clip of a sister who didn't believe in the rapture, also gets to see her judgment ultimately. And I bet you can guess where this one goes.
Because your sins have not been washed by the blood of the Lamb, and you've rejected Christ here on earth, your name does not appear in the book of life. Therefore, you shall reap the punishment of your sins.
Wait, don't I get a chance to defend it?
Depart from me, for I never knew you.
Wait!
Wait! No! Wait! No! This isn't fair!
It is not your time yet. Unlike Sarah, you do have another opportunity. But be assured of this. No one knows the day or the hour that your soul will be required of you. And one day, you will stand in judgment. And when that day comes, will your name be found in the Lamb's Book of Life?
Yeah.
For your sake?
Yeah.
I hope that it is.
All right, here's some hell scenes. This is where the first girl went.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of goes on like that for a long time.
I mean, it's basically a haunted house at this point.
Right.
But then add the personal,
yeah,
personal attacks there into the mix. But
I just don't, why? I wish their hell scenes were a little bit more creative. They all look the same.
Yeah.
Just a bunch
I
of
agree.
People in chains and. Mm-hmm.
Where's
know.
The lake of fire?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Come on.
Yeah, lake of fire. That'd be good.
I'm waiting to see a hell house that has like a full human-sized mannequin. They like throw it into like like a fire, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's always just red and chains and
it. I mean, it's they took then they just go to like a regular haunted house, but then they just add in a few things and then have somebody narrating that it is hell and this is why this person's there. So you might be wondering, what's the point? Why did they do this? Why do they put these elaborate things on? Well, according to the production, quote, the number one benefit is lives are saved. The production also claims that 10 to 20% of the crowd converts or recommits their faith during the final altar call. The big sell is that any church that pays for the production will see an increase in membership. In the end, the main goal for all these productions is to increase church membership. Obviously, they want to save people, but they want people to then come to their church. More members means more tithing going on and, you know, allows the church to do more of this and, you know, effectively continue their saving mission.
Extra value meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
But let's talk about Scaremare, because Scaremare is definitely one of the wildest hell houses ever created.
Now, while most hell houses are transparent about their religious background and connection to the evangelical community, some of them, not so much. It's a bit more deceiving in a tactical way, obviously. Sometimes these houses are set up to seem like regular haunted attractions, but then they add this evangelical twist at the end. And so people end up bringing their kids. This has happened to a lot of people where they think they're just bringing them to a haunted house and then surprise, you're actually at a hell house. One great example is the most famous hell house around, the Scaremare in Lynchburg, Virginia. And that thing's been running since 1972, and more than 300,000 people have visited. It's regarded as the first hell house ever, and it was created by the fundamentalist minister, Jerry Falwell, which I'm sure a lot of you have heard of him. I know we've talked about him on the show. He's a Baptist televangelist pastor and conservative activist who died in 2007. And to give you an idea of the kind of person Jerry was after the attack on the World Trade Center, he said this, quote, "I really believe that the pagans, the abortionists, the feminists, the gays, and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for the American Way, all of them who have tried to secularize America, I point the finger in their face and say, you helped this happen." That's a real quote, dude. Here's an interview where Jerry said that to Pat Robertson.
This is the first time that we've been attacked on our soil. First time, and by far, the worst results. And I fear, as Donald Rumsfeld, the Secretary of Defense, said yesterday, that this is only the beginning, and with biological warfare available to these monsters, the Husseins, the Bin Ladens, the Arafats, what we saw on Tuesday, as terrible as it is, could be minuscule if in fact God continues to lift the curtain and allow the enemies of America to give us probably what we deserve.
Well, Jerry, that's my feeling. I think we've just seen the antechamber to terror. We haven't even begun to see what they can do to the major population.
The ACLU's got to take a lot of blame for this.
Oh, yeah.
And I know I'll hear from them for this, but throwing God off successfully with the help of the federal court system, throwing God out of the public square, out of the schools, the abortionists have got to bear some burden for this because God will not be mocked. And when we destroy 40 million little innocent babies, we make God mad. I really believe that the pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for the American Way, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face and say, you helped this happen.
Well, I totally concur.
So Jerry founded the Thomas Road Baptist Church and Liberty University and private evangelical Christian university in Lynchburg, Virginia. A cast and crew of about 300 Liberty University students operates the Scaremare every night. And reportedly, volunteer work is a requirement to graduate. And so Scaremare can fill that requirement. So there's always a workforce available for Scaremare. It still operates today, and it makes thousands in revenue every night that it operates. Individual tickets go for $12, and groups can get in for a slightly discounted rate of $10 per person. According to their website, it sees about over 1,000 people every Thursday night and about 3,000 people on Fridays and Saturdays when it's in operation.
And at first glance, the production doesn't seem very fundamentalist, but the further you look, the more obvious it becomes. According to its website, Scaremare confronts people with a question, which I've already mentioned on this episode, but what happens after I die? And even though they call it a house of death, they claim it points to the, quote, way of life. Originally, it had 7 rooms, and each was based on the 7 deadly sins. In the final room, the audience got to meet Jesus. Today, it has expanded, and the horror elements and production quality have improved. So let's take a look at the trailer for its 2022 season so you can just see what that looks like.
Grandpa, have you been there? Have you seen it?
And its creatures come alive.
We draw straws to see who goes in first. But remember, the house feeds off fear. The more scared you are, the bigger your nightmare becomes.
They terrorize the woods and haunt your mind.
At least I'm not afraid of bunny rabbits.
Mom said, wherever you go, I have to come with. So where are you?
And worst of all, once you enter, you can not.
Budge. I would just think it's a scary movie or something.
Well, that was like a theatrical, very theatrical haunt trailer for sure. But you would just be like, oh, looks like a sick haunted house. Let's go.
Yeah. You know? Yep.
Without even knowing.
Fall victim.
Well, according to Steve Vandergriff, a professor at Liberty University and director of Scaremare, people who visit Scaremare are sometimes reluctant to go to church.
Oh, imagine that.
So there you go. You attract people who don't want to go to church to Scaremare, and then you present them Christ, which then in turn makes people go to church, right? He also explicitly admits their strategy is to play into people's fears. which Scaramare differs from a lot of Hell Houses because a lot of Hell Houses don't outright just come out and say, this is what we're doing. We play off of people's fears, you know, but these guys are like, yeah, that's exactly what's going on here. We use their fears against them. But they specifically avoid dealing with the quote unquote dark side of the supernatural. If they're going to deal with the supernatural, they quote, want to talk about a person putting their faith in Christ. Here's a quick little snippet of an interview with Steve talking about this very goal.
So they come to get scared and you hope they leave with Christ in their hearts.
Well, yes. Now, our objective is to present that message of Christ to the students. Not every student's going to respond to that, but we've had thousands that have.
So it's an evangelizing event with a Halloween.
Yes, we would definitely call it an evangelistic outreach event. And what better time of the year to do it than October? We believe that, you know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. And so we think there is an exclusiveness to the promise that Christ gives. And so that's why we do it.
But let's be clear. A lot of Scaramare has nothing to do with faith or morality. A lot of it is just like a typical haunted attraction. You got your evil clowns with weapons, bloody pig masks, scary dolls. The typical haunt stuff. The faith and morality part of it comes at the very end when they take audience members into a separate tent. And here they talk about how hell could be like all these fears and horrors you just experienced. And that if you don't accept Jesus into your life, then they're rejecting their own chance at getting into heaven. So let's show you what that looks like. Here's a quick clip of some volunteers
preaching. This shirt, like I said, it's kind of a symbol of my life. My life is full of stains. My life is full of sins. The thing is that God loves you so much that he sent his son. His son was the only person to ever live on this earth who didn't sin. He was the only person here that came and never had filthiness and nastiness on his shirt. He never had a bad life.
Imagine going through this haunt, though, not knowing at all. And then you were like, oh, that was sick. And then you end up in a tent and the guy's like, yeah, Jesus is the only perfect person. Yeah, yeah. You're like, whoa, what the? This was a...
Or even worse, imagine being a parent who just wants to take your kid to some Halloween fun. And then you end up there.
Well, that's the draw to it is like, that's the whole strategy behind it, you know?
Yep.
Fool people and the thing is just a haunt, but then a little surprise at the end.
Yeah, because that's the audience you want, right? People who wouldn't seek this out.
And it sounds like they've had a lot of success. I've had a lot of people turn to the Lord because of this.
Mm-hmm.
It is, let's be clear, you can walk out of these things at any point in time. All these hell houses, you know, this isn't McCamey Manor, okay? They're not, you're not trapped there. Anybody can leave at any time. So they're not doing anything like that. I mean, most people probably just would want to go through it just to see what it's about, especially if you're older, you know, and especially if you go to Scaramare, you'd be like, okay, let's see what this is.
There's part of me that would be interested to go to one of these just to see it, but I think I would just be so horrified and offended by most of what they do in these that, yeah, I don't think I could handle it. I would just be so disgusted and disturbed.
I agree with that. I think
but there's like a curiosity
yeah,
there,
curiosity
you know?
To it, yeah. Well, let's circle back to... You know, we've mentioned this several times. These hell houses have been extremely offensive towards the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
And let's talk about that a little bit.
So by 2016, there was a huge amount of backlash to hell houses and a very vocal response from the LGBT community. Any given hell house for decades has depicted LGBTQ people as inherently sinful. Many involve a scene where a gay man dies of HIV/AIDS. That's just evil. There are no words. And historically, these productions are often performed in October around Halloween. And Halloween is actually a very celebrated holiday for the LGBTQ community and sometimes even rivals pride festivals. Some even call Halloween second pride. And October is also LGBTQ History Month and includes National Coming Out Day. And since 1970, originating in San Francisco, Halloween has been a celebrated holiday for the LGBT crowd. Even though the whole point of Halloween is putting on a costume, many LGBTQ people see it as a time to sort of unmask, that everyone is allowed to dress up pretty much however they want and express themselves however they want. So it might not be a coincidence that hell houses historically demonize LGBTQ expression during LGBTQ History Month. And many people believe that these hell houses were specifically set up in the 70s when Pride festivals began so that it could target LGBTQ people in the month of October. And it certainly seems that way. There's a constant trope in most hell houses where terrible things happen to LGBTQ people, and they're not allowed into heaven. And as we mentioned earlier, the creation of hell houses has been credited to the fundamentalist minister, Jerry Falwell. He created Scaramare and was a known bigot and homophobe. So it's no surprise that these dramatizations were used to make homosexuality appear as a sin.
Yeah, a 2006 report by the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force explained how Hell House specifically targeted young people. The report said, quote, "Instead of spooking youth with ghosts and monsters, Hell House tour guides direct them through rooms where violent scenes of damnation for a variety of sins are performed, including scenes where a teenage lesbian is brought to hell after committing suicide and a gay man dying of AIDS is taunted by a demon who screams that the man will be separated from God forever in hell." This probably doesn't come as much of a surprise to many of us. Christian religions throughout history have persecuted LGBTQ people. Even a 2001 study showed that for men and women, a belief in an act of Satan was, quote, "directly related to intolerance toward lesbians and gay men." Hell houses, in a sense, are dramatizations of this, quote unquote, act of Satan and intolerance towards LGBTQ people. And their goal has been to scare LGBTQ youth into heterosexual behavior. And speaking of Halloween, let's talk about it for a minute. Christians have also attempted to co-opt the secular holiday and make it religious even beyond the hell houses. Instead of targeting teenagers or young adults, many churches have isolated children from regular trick-or-treating by providing religious trunk-or-treating, which I'm sure there's many of you out there who went trunk-or-treating. I certainly did. I didn't participate in Halloween for a number of years especially when I was really young. But this is where churches offer parking lots for churchgoers to bring their children, and children are encouraged to dress up as something non-scary, definitely non-paranormal. It's encouraged to dress like a Bible character or a saint or an angel or something along those lines. And then the parents have, you know, trunks of candy, and they decorate the trunks of their vehicles with, you know, scripture and, you know, it's a positive place. I don't want to dig on it too hard because I don't think it's a bad thing. I think trunk or treats is a great alternative. And again, we live in a world, you know, trick-or-treating could be dangerous in some situations if kids are just going out. So,
and it's not just churches putting together trunk-or-treats nowadays. There's fire departments that do it. We brought our daughter to one this year that was run by a gym. So, yeah, I don't think there's anything that wrong with them in most cases.
Right, right. But it's all, you know, it's also an outreach event, too. You know, they hope that it'll attract people, you know, both secular or, you know, other Christians to their church to participate. A lot of churches also do fall festivals or harvest festivals. I have a vivid memory of going to instead of going out trick-or-treating one year, which I just as a kid was very sad for me because my friends would go, and even other religious family friends that we had would let their kids go trick-or-treating. My parents wouldn't let us go trick-or-treating. And I'd be like, why can't we go trick-or-treating? And they never really gave me a lot of good reasoning.
That seems like a pretty extreme side of it, too. Because, I mean, I know a lot of Christian people, and all of the Christians that I'm friends with or, you know in my life still let their kids do Halloween. It seems pretty rare to find people who straight up just opt out of Halloween these days.
These days, for sure.
I guess it was more when we were younger. I remember my neighbor wasn't able to go trick-or-treating with us one year because her mom told her it was the devil's birthday or something.
Yeah, I think my parents said something along those lines. Not devil's birthday, but they were like, it's kind of an evil. It celebrates evil. It celebrates, you know, sin, whatever you want to call it. And so I went to a carnival. Like, the church had a carnival, which, to be fair, was fun, and I still dressed up. I remember what I was at Halloween. I was a gorilla. I had like a gorilla mask, and then we have pictures of it. My brother had this like styrofoam alligator head, and both my brother and I always wanted to be scary stuff and wanted to be like, you know, every young boy wants to like carry around a sword or like, you know, a knife, a fake knife or something, you know, and be something spooky. And my parents were like, no, you can be an animal or like an occupation or a Bible character or something like that. And so that part kind of sucked. But then the carnival was fun. I think we ended up winning like a betta fish there or something like that.
Oh, that's
they had like
problematic in a different way.
They had like a little fishing for betta fish there.
Oh my God.
And then just like little games and stuff like that. But as a kid, especially when you're going to school and you go to public school and you have Halloween parties and you have all this going on, you can't help but feel like you're missing out. Mm-hmm. And you're like, why are we different? Why aren't we allowed to like go trick-or-treating? And eventually my parents just kind of gave up that whole fight. Yeah. And then we went trick-or-treating pretty much probably from middle school on when we were older. But yeah, no, it's difficult, I think. I think it's obviously up to every parent to decide what they want to do, but definitely made me feel left out for a long time.
Yeah, especially when understand. It's something as innocent as trick-or-treating, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And there are some people out there who just don't celebrate Halloween at all. And in fact, they're celebrating Reformation Day, which shares the same date, or All Saints Day, which lands on the following day.
Paul Scaramare was the first and hopefully the last Hell House of its kind. Many followed in its path during the heyday of Hell Houses. Many Hell Houses didn't really boom until the 90s, and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, got into the game fairly early. Since about 1992, this non-denominational congregation ran the Hell House called The Nightmare, or Guts Nightmare. It's set up in a 40,000-square-foot warehouse with 15 custom rooms, 300 workers, and this attraction could pull in about 40,000 people in a single season. The initial budget for the production was over $75,000. The Guts Church operations manager, Tom Moneypenny, love that name, said this about the attraction. "That's the thrill. We take it and turn it on its head because people come in with an expectation. And what they leave with is, man, real life is scary. Real life is not glossy the way commercials show it and the TV movies show it. Real life is scary. And the message we have is there's hope. There's a way to be delivered from that reality." Several audience members reported that there was a scene where a young woman performed a coat hanger abortion on herself. Another had characters die from a meth lab explosion. And one scene even included a demonic possession, of course. The final scene was a graphic depiction of Jesus being crucified. And according to an audience member, another room showed teens smoking a joint and then ripping their own faces off. Because that's what normally happens. You know, we've all been there when someone just goes
nuts. I actually have.
Someone ripped their face off.
No, I just... Ah!
I mean, yes. But yeah, it's crazy.
Don't say yes. That's not my experience.
I'm saying there's always... I'm sure people have been in a situation where you know, you get a little too high and you freak out a little bit, but not to the point where you're ripping your face off.
Right.
That has never happened.
Clearly, these people have never smoked a joint.
Although I will say, sometimes smoking weed can send you into psychosis.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. In some cases.
Yes,
yeah.
I understand.
But yeah, those old ads where they would show people's faces melting. And, yeah.
This is what happens with your brain on drugs, mm-hmm. The egg. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So another scene, there was a girl shooting herself in the head. It's horrible. And then they sprayed the audience after that with fake blood.
God.
Oh, it's so demented, dude. And then another woman was licking a real rat in the house. For what reason? We don't fucking know. Mm-hmm. No idea on that one.
You need Jesus or you're going to start licking rats.
Mm-hmm. Mm, tasty. And the production prided itself on staying relevant with what the kids are experiencing now.
Apparently,
they're in with the young crowd. They're,
a lot of rat lickers.
Gen Alpha these days. And as always, it ended with the audience getting a message about accepting Jesus into their hearts and their lives. Here's Pastor Bill Shear talking about their Nightmare production in 2008.
Well, the Nightmare is the 15th year of it. It's an annual outreach we do that is essentially designed to scare the hell out of you.
Yeah.
And that's literally it. What we do is it originally started as 5 of the biggest killers of young people graphically exposed, and then the price Jesus paid for our lives. And now, just because the first few years it was fun because we got to sneak up on people. People didn't know what it was. Well, now everybody knows. And so kind of full disclosure, we got to just throw our books open and everything and let everybody see it. But so we change it every year. This year, there's a kind of terrorism theme to it.
Interesting. This is like a mainstream version of a haunted.
The way you said that's so casual.
Ah, interesting.
Just a little terrorism theme. We've gotten extra creative this year.
We went from the five.
A real treat.
5 top killers for teens to terrorism.
Jesus.
We had to up the ante, you know?
The house.
Correct. Yeah, that's
it. Looks so horrible.
It's a haunting house. Is what it is essentially, and we just take very culturally relevant situations and just graphically expose it. We're not glorifying it or anything. It's interesting because you know, it's there's things involved in it that are going to be very gripping for almost everybody that can go through.
Awesome, dude.
Hardcore.
Hell yeah.
Makes McCamey Manor look like a walk in the park, mm-hmm. man.
Well, unfortunately, I know some of you out there may have been, you know, interested to take a trip there after that whole spiel, but it does appear that the Nightmare is no longer in operation, and their last Facebook post was in October of 2019, so that one is donezo.
Yeah, seems like a lot of them are donezo.
Yeah.
We're going to kind of end our episode today talking about one of the most famous hell houses that existed during the 90s and 2000s. It's kind of infamous, and that Hell House documentary you mentioned mm-hmm. before was done on out of the Trinity Church, a mega church in Cedar Hills, Texas, which is outside of Dallas, and the membership is around 10,000 people. So they obviously have some money. Its properties included several large church buildings, a school, a football field, of course, and a building that was used for their Hell House production. And like many, their Hell House depicted graphic scenes of gang rape, raving, and drug use, domestic abuse, LGBTQ people dying, suicide in classrooms, and abortion. They also played into the satanic panic, which, whew, gotta love that one, where they try to like play out these like mm-hmm. occult scenes. They got a priest of the Church of Satan preparing to perform a ritual sacrifice of a young girl. The Satanist says, quote, "I have deceived this girl, first getting her hooked on Harry Potter. Magic the Gathering and Dungeons and Dragons, so evil. Now here she is in my coven and wanting more power, and I will sacrifice her to the devil."
Dude, you should.
I was going to say, he's pretty good at that.
I was going to say, maybe open your own hell house.
Yeah, next business venture, the Mile Higher Hell House.
Damn, that could be pretty good.
I'm going to open the first Heaven House.
Oh, Heaven House.
Just good vibes, a good time.
Mm-hmm. You're greeted at the door with a pickle. That would be my heaven.
According to one of the Trinity Church Hell House actors in the 90s and 2000s, Ryan Connell, who portrayed the satanic priest in the previously mentioned scene, he had believed that the apocalypse was coming and all the sinners would be dragged to hell. And he believed he would be too if he even thought about sex. Not the most natural thing known to humankind. Oh, no, I can't think about sex.
You're kind of getting French with it.
It's getting a little French over there, yeah.
Sorry, it kind of slips in there sometimes.
Who's to say the devil isn't French?
Yeah, maybe he is.
One time he even confessed about struggling with his impulses to masturbate. Bro, been there. Been there.
Okay.
As a teenager, it's rough. And the Trinity Church pastor replied, quote, "I can't believe I let you around my children." Just because he said that. Mm-hmm. I have many memories of youth group where these conversations come up because you got to hold each other accountable.
Yeah.
Wow, God, that is so weird.
So, Josh, did you look at porn this week?
God, that's crazy.
They would no. Ask you that.
Yeah, dude. Oh, they asked yeah. that.
Anybody here masturbating?
Ew, wait, what?
Yes.
Yeah, they yes. do that.
Small
would
groups.
Anyone be like, yeah, I did?
Yes. Hand goes
like,
up.
Like, no, I would imagine no one's actually admitting to that because then they'd be shamed publicly.
No, it was like in a small group. So it'd just yes, be guys.
Still.
Just
I was
guys.
In a small group.
So they'd yeah, split still. Guys and girls, but they'd mm-hmm. ask them the same questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, around your, like.
Yeah, no, they admit
well,
it.
Most
I mean,
of,
people around you are, so.
Because then you'd have like your youth pastor and he'd be like, all right, let's all pray over Josh. He's for his struggles. Just too many hot women.
And then oftentimes small groups are like, they do sleepovers and stuff where they're talking about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, like your youth pastor's house and stuff like that.
I went to a small group sleepover at some random person's apartment. My parents just let me go.
Hmm.
Nothing can go wrong.
Yeah.
But anyways, back to Trinity Church's Hell House. Its biggest controversy came in 1999, only 6 months after the Columbine shooting, because you can already guess what they did.
Yeah.
They included a school shooting in their production.
Right after Columbine.
6 months after Columbine.
Sick fucks. That's just...
And guess what? The demon in this production was saying things about how the killers were working for Satan and that the victims were all good Christians and, you know, playing that whole narrative, of course. Mm. After this, the Hell House gained international spotlight, as you can imagine, for a while. Oh. So just to give you perspective of Trinity's Hell House production, this is the trailer for the documentary, which you should absolutely watch
yes.
after this episode.
Yes, you should.
It's worth it. But here's a sneak peek.
So what are our themes that we deal with in Hell House? We deal with family violence.
I want to die.
We deal with suicide. We deal with abortion.
We deal with drugs. We deal with alcohol, drunkenness.
Welcome. Your journey has finally brought you to the place of eternal agony. Here you will be subjected to constant torture and everlasting pain. Come, let us meet those who have swallowed the poison of my life.
You can let her go first.
They shoot blanks.
You did this to me.
What if I did? I was gay. What would you do then? Oh, you're going to hell, my son.
No.
We're competing for lost souls. It is a war. It is a battle. It is a competition. And there's a serious game where life and death is at stake. And we're going to win.
If you were to die tonight, do you know where you will go?
There you have it.
Yep.
This is like the most psychotic shit I've ever.
So yeah, that's, there's so many more clips. Maybe we'll have time to show you a few of them, but yeah, the scenes are absolutely insane. And this is all just church volunteers. And it's interesting because this documentary shows you sort of how they planned it out, the auditions for the different scenes.
Yeah.
It's fucking bizarre. It's just,
they're all fucking pumped for it too.
Yeah. They're extremely excited about it. But they talk about how it's written, the soundtrack, everything, you know, the whole thing's laid out, which provides a lot of perspective. But here's a hospital scene where they condemn abortion and LGBTQ people.
Everybody checks in,
young
but
kids.
Not everybody checks out. This is Steve. He thought his homosexual lifestyle was everything a real man could want. But now he's dying of AIDS.
Steve, I'm right here. I'm not going to leave.
Why is this happening to me? Why can't it just be over?
Don't talk like that, Steve. Dr. Ennie, we've got an emergency over here.
Yes, sir. What do we have here?
Her name is Jan. She's 17 years old. She took the new abortion pill, RU486, 2 days ago. She's been bleeding ever since this morning, complains of severe abdominal cramps, and her blood pressure is 80 over 60.
Why won't the bleeding stop? Matt said this wouldn't be a big deal. It was just a stupid pill. Why can't this just be over?
It'll never be over, Jan. Steve.
No.
What's the matter? Are you okay?
I keep having these nightmares of burning in hell. Why can't it just die in peace?
Just a little taste of what's in store for you, Stevie boy.
Steve, don't you understand? This is God talking to you. He doesn't want you to burn in hell. Please, Steve, give your life to Jesus. Don't waste your last chance. Please. Somebody help me.
It's too late, Jan. You're going to hell. You're mine.
God, help me.
What are you doing here? She's mine.
I hate you, God.
No, Steve.
You did this to me.
Jesus, save me.
She's not yours anymore.
I can't even find words. It's so horrible.
Yeah, it's truly disturbing and just so unnecessary, inaccurate.
It's just downright evil.
Yeah. It's attempting to brainwash people.
There's some other scenes that are even worse than that we literally cannot even play. So it's awful. So later in the film, some of the younger audience members argue with the church leader about how inaccurately rays were portrayed in the Hell House. And even teenagers then could see how narrow and unrealistic the depictions were. And here's a clip from the documentary we've been talking about, 2001 Hell House, in which a young man confronts an organizer about the house's depiction of queer people. And this guy's fucking awesome. I love this clip.
It's fucking bullshit. That's stereotypical Christian shit.
Okay.
A fucking whole shit with a fucking dying.
Right.
I was fucking offended by that. I got gay friends.
Yeah. Okay.
Who's to say if you're gay, you're going to go to hell or heaven? Who's to say that?
His choice
was to be gay.
His choice,
so he's going to hell,
was the life of homosexuality. What does the Bible say about homosexuality?
What's wrong with being gay? What if I told you I was gay? I'm offended by that.
No. Okay, sir. But Christian,
I was gay.
No.
I was offended by that.
Back
what would you do then?
Listen to me.
Oh, you're going to hell,
sir.
My son.
Listen to me.
Sir.
No.
Listen
to
me. Go, hey.
It's okay. No, it's cool. It's cool.
Yeah.
I can respect what he's saying. I guess my question is, what did you think Hell House was presenting when you came into it tonight?
And things are going to be fucking stereotypical like that. All fucking.
Because I've met Christians that are actually very open-minded.
Yeah,
about
we have
things.
A friend.
This is why people are so turned off to the Christian religion. Was that in there? The way
it seems that they're stereotyping that, okay, if you're gay, you're going to hell unless you say, okay, I'm no longer gay. I do not. I was not born this way. You make it too cut and dry.
Because it was gay?
And white. There's no gray area. It's like you don't have that gray area, which is what life is.
Yeah,
because.
Like, same. That girl is extremely, extremely depressed. Our natural thing is self-preservation. Committing is obviously not self-preservation.
Yeah, it's also saying you also go to hell for killing yourself.
Yes, exactly. And you're saying you go to hell for killing yourself. But at the same time, if you're not in the right mental state, how can that be judged appropriately?
And also,
that particular scene, let me address your question, I'll answer yours. That particular scene addresses her rejecting God. What led up to that was the rave scene, was the drugs. What we're showing in that scene is the people that went to raves, they made the wrong choice, and the consequence was they were depressed. Had she made the right choices and not got involved in the drugs, not got involved
God
in the rave
doesn't
scene,
control every aspect of your life. We have free
you make
will.
The choice.
Yeah, they actually have scenes where they depict people killing themselves in the Hell House.
I rock with that dude's Fear Factor shirt.
Yeah, that's he's good. Yeah. I love him.
I bet this happens a lot, though. I can imagine that people go and they go through this just either like, what the hell? Let's just see what this is about. Mm-hmm. Or people don't know what they're getting to, like scaremare, and it's like, what the fuck is this shit?
Yeah. Let me speak to the manager.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't hear a lot of good reasoning from that volunteer.
No, it made no sense. Yeah, she was depressed because she went to raves and then she killed herself. And that was all her own choices. It's just wild people actually think this way. But despite the vocal minorities, thousands upon thousands have attended the Trinity Church Hell House, with many of the audience members successfully converting or recommitting to the faith. The Trinity Church Hell House ran for about 15 more years after that documentary came out. And in 2017, the production called Hell House 27, No Escape, depicted a Trump supporter fatally shooting a Black Lives Matter activist in the chest. And here's that footage. What the fuck?
I have no words.
Yeah.
Just don't understand what the point is here.
There is no point. So in this scene that was portrayed throughout the 2017 season, Trump supporters could be seen shouting on the left side, with BLM activists shouting on the right side. And a person dressed as a demon traveled from one side to the other and said, "Welcome to my world, where anyone different from you is a threat, where evil grows and hatred runs deep. It's one of my oldest and most successful tactics." Makes no sense. The demon would then whisper slurs into people's ear, things that we can't even play on this show, stirring up the hateful energy. And in one rendition, the narrator went to each and every person one by one and called that person a list of slurs depending on their skin color.
Well, what they're doing here is they're demonizing protesting.
Mm-hmm.
And demonizing the idea that we shouldn't have differing opinions,
mm-hmm,
or discussion around it, or, you know, we should all just conform to one ideology,
mm-hmm,
and this all goes away. Then the demons have no way to work us. You know what I mean? If we all just believe in God, then this doesn't happen. There's no protesting because we all just believe the same thing.
And that people who are protesting are evil, unless you're protesting in the name of God, of course.
Right. And that all the violence that happens in protests is due to demonic, mm-hmm, activity.
Yep. We're seeing the devil play out in real time. So wild.
Yeah. Later, when the protesters ramped up the shouting back and forth, calling each other names, a deafening gunshot goes off. The BLM activist would then slump to the ground, and the demon or narrator then said, quote, "You cannot escape my hate. Now get out." But this is just yet another example of how these Hell House productions are not there just to scare and then save people, but this is also a way to push evangelical politics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I just said, the answer to all the world's problems is that we just all need to shut up and follow Jesus and we'll be good to go.
Yep.
World's problems go away.
Mm-hmm. Could be so simple.
And like always, the political agenda didn't end there. The abortion scene was also used in the 2017 production. A demon coerced a mother to force her daughter to get an abortion that she didn't want. The mother said that the baby was going to ruin her life. When the doctor began the operation, the demon said, quote, "This woman honestly believes she's providing a service, all because of women's rights. My body, my choice. Well, it is your choice. Now give that little morsel to me."
God, that is so sick.
In another room, a girl who was sexually abused by her father went on to kill her mother. Later, that same girl was tormented by two demons. They shamed her for being abused and told her the only answer was to kill herself. While crying and screaming, the girl then slit her wrists. The director of the Hell House that year, Pastor John Michael Barajas, was quoted saying, "Something is out to destroy our kids. We want to shed light on what the enemy's trying to do to our children. Whether you believe in God or not, you can't see the rape, the murder rate, and deny that there is something after our kids." Sounds like 2017 was also the last year of operation for the Trinity Church Hell House. Because the positive takeaway from today's episode is that a lot of this shit has been shut down.
And really in the last couple of years, too. And a lot of that was because of obviously the controversy, and then it just was becoming less popular, less people were coming through, less traffic. And then the COVID pandemic really put a nail in the coffin there for them. So Scaremare is still one of the few big ones that does operate today, and evangelical churches still use theatrical productions to indoctrinate new followers, but traumatic hell houses aren't as popular as they used to be, thankfully, although we'd like to see them all be done. And from many accounts of people who have visited hell houses as children, as you can imagine, these productions left more of a traumatic stain of fear and violence in their memories rather than a healthy acceptance of Jesus into their lives. So they really didn't work well as far as what they were wanting them to do in the first place for most people.
Yeah, it seems like a radical idea that worked for a while. And I think with the rise of the internet and social media and just media in general, I think what also happened was they ran out of ways to sort of escalate the productions without literally being in, you know, much more evil than they already are. You know what I mean? How do you make it even worse, or how do you bring it up to speed with like what's going on here without also people protesting outside of your hell house being like, what the hell are you guys doing? This is not inherently good whatsoever. So I think there's a lot of things to it. But my big thing is, to me, hell houses defeats the whole purpose of what being a Christian is all about, and just spirituality in general. Is this is such a personal thing between you and God, and
or whatever God means to you.
Yeah, exactly. But in specific context of Christianity, yes, you could bring thousands of people through these hell houses. Yes, you could get maybe thousands of people to come to the altar and accept Jesus into their life. But that what does that really mean in the end? You know, you have no way of knowing if they were actually authentic about that or not. You know, so it makes you wonder about the true intentions behind. Is it really about saving souls, or is it about gaining new church members to boost numbers at the church to ultimately benefit the church in the long run?
Right.
And I think that's something that is definitely up for debate here. If you really look at Christianity as a whole, and my takeaway from it, from my own personal experience, is you should want to be a Christian because you feel like that is the right choice for you. And everything about Christianity is about this personal relationship with Jesus. And so if you're feeling like you're being forced or scared into that, that is not going to last long term. You know what I mean?
Right.
It should be a welcoming thing. It's supposed to be a positive thing. And I think 90% of churches out there would agree with that and be like, yeah, no, that's the environment we create for our congregation. And that's not, you know, we would never do a hell house because we know how harmful this is. And it's just a bad look for the church as a whole, that it is about our own free will. You should come into a church because you're seeking God and not because you got scared into believing that if I die tonight, I'm going to go to hell. Therefore, I'm just going to kneel down and accept God in my life because I'm scared.
Purely out of
fear, you know? And so I don't like that part of it. I don't like the part of being feared into believing in something or believing in God.
Yeah.
I like the idea of coming to terms with that on your own time and your own way, however that may be. And it doesn't need to be such a dramatic, like extreme response to some theatrical production or some pseudo haunted house, you know what I mean?
That also is so offensive to so many people who are being
hurting
authentically themselves.
Yeah. Right. Shouldn't be hurting people. That's Jesus. Mm-hmm. If Jesus were here,
he'd say, what the fuck are you guys doing? This is insane.
Jesus would burn those things down. He'd be like, take all this down. No, Jesus literally went into temples and flipped tables and was like, this is all false. This is not what it's about. Mm-hmm. And Jesus would have absolutely been like, what the hell are you guys doing over here at Trinity Church? This is not what I want you to do.
Yeah.
How about you just go out in the world and be a good person? And then by being an example of Jesus, that should be enough for people to then want to believe what you want to believe, right? Mm-hmm. Why do you need to do all these extreme, radical, crazy things to get people's attention when really, if you're just a good person and really following the teachings of Jesus, people should just be naturally attracted to you and want to know what gets you through life. And then that's the way you share your faith. You know what I mean?
Yeah, in a perfect world.
And then if people aren't interested, you leave it at that and be like,
yeah,
no judgment. Yeah. Totally understand. Have a nice day. Believe what you want.
Should be able to stand strong on its own with just faith, right?
Yep.
Without fear.
Yep. Amen.
Amen.
I think it's fucking crap.
Yeah.
It's all crap.
It is a bunch of crap. Yeah. It's putting it nicely.
Stupid.
Yeah, that's putting it nicely.
Stupid, ridiculous.
I think it's hypocritical, fear-mongering bullshit, honestly. This is... If I am so grateful that my parents never, that I, up until 3 days ago, I didn't know what this was.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. That's something to be thankful for sure.
I just think it's honestly despicable and has a lot of underlying themes of bigotry, which, you know, thankfully this isn't, like we have talked about, this isn't as common anymore, but, you know, if it was and wherever it still happens, I think also, heavily probably influences those around them and continues to drive this very disturbing thought and I guess lack of morals that many people in this country have, in my opinion. So
I completely agree.
I'll keep it as at that. But
yeah, well, I completely agree with you. And I just think overall these things are beyond demented and I'm glad that they seem to be fading out. But I don't know. You never know. They could have a resurgence.
Well, I was going to say, if any, at any point they might, maybe it'd be now.
It does seem that way.
We can still do the Heaven House.
Yeah, I'm down to do a Heaven House.
Yeah, the Pleasure House.
Pleasure House. That could be, yeah.
That could be cool.
Hey, why don't they just do that? That's a good way to try and convert people. Like, this is what Heaven could be like. Without having anything, you know, just
without
leave
the
hell out
without
of it.
The judgment
part
like, of it,
just,
yeah.
You know?
Well, the problem is it these people are going by the book, you know?
Yeah.
And this is what the book said. This is the way they interpreted the book, I should say.
Yeah.
They interpreted the Bible this way.
A lot of it is not actually from the Bible.
Well, it's, I mean, yeah, there's lots of things that some churches interpret one way. That's why there's so many denominations, is because all churches sort of have their own flavor of their interpretation of the Bible and what they take literally and what they don't. So it just really depends. But yeah, I mean, This one definitely hit home, because there's so many things, especially if you watch that documentary, that really like made me feel a lot of different things and kind of brought back a lot of different memories, both good and bad, but mostly bad. Just around understanding what these people are going through and hearing a lot of the same things from leaders and pastors and things like that. And just I truly believe in spiritual trauma. And I think this is not only traumatic just psychologically for everybody who's a part of these hell houses, but the spiritual trauma that's done to you is even deeper, because it's, and I don't know if it's something that will ever go away, because of just when you're this young and you're developing and you're just trying to figure the world out, when you're introduced to all these ideas and all of these very scary things, these almost like there's no escape. You know what I mean? Like you're trapped. It really fucks with you.
Yeah.
And it fucks with me today. It still crosses my mind all the time, and things creep in. And
being exposed to this type of environment at such a young age, I will go as far to say, is abusive. And,
oh, I completely agree.
And it's despicable that they're even put on by churches, but it's also despicable that parents take kids to that. And especially if you're going to victim blame people who have been raped or abused or are
or
dealing with mental health issues. Like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah.
This shit is just on a whole other level.
I completely agree with you. Anyone who partakes in these or thinks that these are a good idea, fuck you. I don't know what else to say. And I'd love to hear from our audience, from, you know, anyone who has had a similar experience to Josh, or who have gone to one of these hell houses, or people who have never heard of them. What is your takeaway? Do you know that they, did you know about these? And what do you think? And if you think hell houses are a great idea, I'd love to hear from you. Tell us why. And that's going to be it for today's episode. Thanks for joining us. I know that was
heavy, man.
Yeah,
it's a
really
heavy
is.
Topic.
It is.
Really
and
is.
Josh, thank you for opening up. I know it's not easy for you to talk about.
No,
this
is, I tell you all the time personally, mm-hmm. but I share these things because it's good for me. It's almost therapeutic for me.
Mm-hmm.
But also because I know so many of you out there, and people have reached out to me over the years and, you know, thank me for sharing. And I know that by sharing my own personal experiences with spiritual trauma and the church is helpful for others out there, and hearing back from other people with similar things is helpful for me. It helps heal,
yeah.
helps the healing process. And yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about. So hopefully somebody out there feels helped by this in a weird way, you know?
Oh, I'm sure there will be many people who do.
Because it's it's a really tough one. Mm-hmm. It's really tough to overcome that trauma.
Yeah, it's sort of just ingrained in you forever, it feels.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's it for us today, guys. We'll see you next week.
Yep.
Till then.
Keep on taking your mind a mile higher.